was out having dinner at an Italian restaurant, and the server comes up with a little grater and starts putting cheese on top of my ravioli at my request and looks at me and says, "Say when." Interesting, I got curious when that became part of the idioms, part of the language in America, so I looked it up. It's kind of interesting on its face, and it's kind of interesting on what we're going to be talking about today. Come on in, we'll talk it over. Well, hi everybody, I'm Bill Bateman, part of the team here at Refuse to Be a Victim Personal Protection Training, and this is the 18th of September, part of our National Preparedness Month programming, and I'm really happy to be here. Today's going to be a little different. I got a couple of things that kind of really bothered me, and I need to get off my chest, and don't worry, I don't have the soapbox out. It all ties in nicely to surviving beyond the bug out bag. Yeah, you got your cool running shoes for running for your life, but what else can we do? This ties into it. What got me thinking about it is the server saying, "Say when." Say when what? Say when got popular in the late 1800s, and by 1899 it was common when someone was pouring you a beverage or putting something, shaking some cheese on your food. Say when means say when to stop. It's just an idiom. All right, well, say when is kind of appropriate for some other things because survival beyond the bug out bag is just that. Yes, you've got your cool shoes, you've got your water bottle, you can start a fire, you've got all of those good things, and every one of those is important. But there are things beyond the bug out bag I want to focus on and bring to your attention. Before I do that, I want to remind you we do still have our concealed carry class. The next one's coming up on October the 14th, and you are invited. We do have space in that class. We are also putting together a non-ballistic self-defense course. Originally, it was part of the women's training program, but it has become so popular, we're breaking it out as a standalone class. We'll have more information on that posted on the website very soon, and as a result of a lot of requests, our advanced tactical training classes are now going to be starting up. I will again have more news as soon as we lock that down. So if you're looking at getting some training, you've come to the right spot. But let's look at the world news. Let's look at what's going on all around the globe and what that means to us about our own survival right here at home. There's a terrible flood in Libya. I don't know how you didn't hear about it, but if you did not know, over 11,300 people are dead and over 10,000 are missing. Now, to put that in some sort of perspective, that is the entire population of Talent and Phoenix combined. Gone. Just like that. Now, Morocco had a 6.3 earthquake. Their death toll is very close to 3,000 persons and continues to rise, and they've reached that point where trying to pull survivors from the wreckage may not be realistic because of the amount of time. They're still trying, but they're not very optimistic. Well, we can't really get too upset at national or natural disasters, but is there a common thread? Can we get mad at natural disasters? No. We can't. An earthquake is an earthquake. A flash flood is a flash flood. But really, we've had 20 years warning that this stuff was going to happen, that we're going to see an increase in heavy rains and flooding. And if you add this to the unattended repairs, neglected maintenance, lax building codes, and shoddy inspections, you have a recipe for disaster. And that's exactly what we saw here. There's a lot of corruption, there's a lot of blame shifting in any incident of this time. People in Morocco were very upset that they couldn't get equipment to them to help them. They didn't have enough equipment, they didn't have staff, they didn't have training. In Libya, they actually turned down aid initially because the communications were so poor. This is terrible. And it's not just overseas. Folks like to say, oh, yeah, look at over there. In Florida, remember those condos that fell down 4 years ago? Yep, 4 years, and they still have 40 possible reasons that that building came down. Now, it's alleged that 50% of the building inspections were just sort of waved off, that there was corruption, that there were payoffs. 98 people were killed. I don't think it matters to them which of those allegations are true or if they are true at all. Nobody wants to be in the crosshairs of all of those angry families. But again, blame shifting, finger pointing, and inaction. So let's look at how this kind of ties in. Difficulty in rescue efforts, lack of planning, lack of materials, lack of support and supplies. Let's look here in the United States, the Camp Fire, Concow and the Town of Paradise, 85 people, worst fire in California history. Maui is still sorting it out. And again, those same common themes, communication, water got cut off, allegedly. That's unbelievable. And the big situation of knowing that those problems have existed, they had an earlier fire 4 years ago, and the problems were not corrected. This has to go to both the residents and the officials. And this is not a case of, okay, guys, we warned you. This is a case of people not listening, not acting, turning a blind eye and kind of looking down the road because it's not going to happen here. Not again. Well, that's the human factor. And we talked about milling in one of our early podcasts a couple weeks ago. This is reported in the Rogue Valley Times. The sheriff's department was very concerned. They would come in and knock on the door and tell people, hey, you got to go. And head to the next house, and as they're leaving the area, the first people they talk to are kind of milling around in the driveway, wringing their hands. They look like little minions, and it's not funny. It's not funny at all, but they're just kind of walking around, and what should we do? They don't want to leave. They can't believe it's going to happen. They can't believe it's happening to them, or they're not just willing to trust authority. This is not going to end well, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take a specific example. Let's look in the great city of New York. New York has always had a rat problem. Since shortly after it was founded, the rats came over on the ship, moved into New York, and it's been that way for hundreds of years. It's gotten really bad lately, and I read an article in The Guardian. The Guardian's a newspaper I subscribe to, and it says, New York City rat problem, vigilantes with dogs. Yep. New York has a rat czar. They spend millions, I want to say $28 million a year, on rat eradication. They put out bait, they put out poison, they put out sticky traps, they pump CO2 into the rat nest to freeze them. They do everything they can to kill them. People has finally said enough. And I've heard this before, and now it made international news. A group of people with dogs, specifically rat terriers, and that is a breed of dogs. Many terriers are ratters. You put quotations around it. Because in the old country, that's what they did. They take these little terriers who like to dig, like to grab, and the dogs don't eat the rats. That would kill them and make them sick. Shake them, snap their little rat necks, and then bring them back to their owners, much like a cat will bring a mouse to you to show you what a good job it did. The dogs are well cared for. They're given shots. They are given first aid if they happen to get bitten. It seems like it's better than freezing a rat to death, or partially freezing. It seems a little more humane because, boom, it's over. Now, if you don't remember, there was a little thing called the bubonic plague that wiped out a good part of Europe way back in the day, for those history impaired out there. Yeah, the plague was caused by what? That's right, by rats. So rats on my list are way, way low on the things I worry about. However, PETA filed protests. They're trying to get these guys who are killing the rats arrested because, and I'm quoting PETA here, rats are simply trying to eke out an existence like other New Yorkers, and setting the dogs on them is depraved and illegal. Close quotes. I've got about 15 or 20 jokes on New Yorkers eking out an existence and rats, but I'm not going to I'm not going there. I am going to the fact that the New Yorkers themselves have to take a big share of responsibility. Whether you side with PETA or whether you side with the people taking out the dogs, the point is the rats couldn't exist without something to eat, without someplace to be. The ratters going out in the article described climbing over literal mountains of garbage and trash in people's yards, in the alleys. And this is what the rats eat. This is what the rats use as shelter to survival. Yes, they get in the sewers. Yes, they get in other areas. But easy pickings, like half a Domino's pizza or other garbage just out and about. People, what are you doing? What in the wide world of sports is in your mind to let the trash get this bad? I know I'm going to hear from somebody in New York. I know I have an audience beyond Medford here. We did some surveys. We got people actually overseas. But I do know there are folks that listen to us all over. We work very hard, and I can't say what you should do. I'm not doing that. I'm saying at our house, we don't want a rat problem. We live close to a field of agriculture, and with all of the fires and the fact that you can go downtown in Ashland and you've got deer, you've got cougar, you've got bears. It's in downtown. You don't have to go out in the country to see the wildlife go out in your backyard. And what are they after? They're trying to get in the garbage cans or they're eating your fruits and vegetables. If you're making it easy for rats, and rats don't need a ton of stuff to survive, just a few crumbs, that's going to cheer them up considerably. Every single resident in New York has a conscious decision, just as I have a conscious decision right here. I can take that cheeseburger I can't finish and I can wrap it up and put it in the trash can, or I can toss it out the car window. Littering, yep. But garbage and filth and waste and all that kind of stuff is going to come back and get you with rats and with disease. There's a story I won't read here, but it's about how the rat outbreak finally was addressed in 1923 in New York, and it concerns rats and a hospital. I'm not going any farther than that. It kind of upset my stomach. Rats will move in and take over. So again, this is the human factor. This is the same as ignoring a dam inspection, as not getting your supplies put together, whether you are a Moroccan village or whether you're my neighbors next door. We are responsible for what happens to us. Let's take it to the next step. They call these folks in New York who got together using dogs specifically bred for the purpose of killing rats, vigilantes. Well, vigilantes are, and it's a noun, I looked it up, a member of a self-appointed group of citizens who undertake law enforcement in their community without legal authority, typically because, and here's the important part, the legal agencies are thought to be inadequate. The legal agencies are thought to be inadequate. Do they have a major rat problem? Yeah. Did the dam fall down? Yeah. Who's the most famous vigilante we can think of? Think a minute on that one. Do we get in the way of our own efforts? You give up on the famous vigilante? Batman. Batman is a vigilante, in case you never really thought about it. Yep, he's taken matters into his own hands without legal authority. Well, we often get in our own way on dealing with things like dam inspection. We don't want to spend the money. We don't want to get someone in trouble, putting the air quotes. And then there are a lot of conspiracy theories. Now, I'm going to say right now, I do personally believe there are things that we are being lied to about. Absolutely. And I think the reason they're doing that is for our own good. Really. I also believe that things get so far out of whack, so just out of control. People need to believe in an invisible enemy, a magical cabal with superpowers, and that way it's them that are causing the problem. That way we can put a name on it, and we can be angry at it, and you've got a target for your rage. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist. It's an invisible target. You see, it's not my fault. It's them, those shadowy people. Okay. Yes. A firm look at, oh, really, did that happen, is good. Yes, I believe there are some shenanigans out there. But as far as some of this stuff, like you read in the Nicolas Cage, that movie with Nicolas Cage about the Constitution and under the Louvre in Paris, the big dome, you're kind of getting out into the movie of the week category. We've turned too much inward. Each of us, and I include myself in this, please understand, I'm not sitting here shaking my finger at you. We're not willing to look at the things that need to happen. We just want to respond to those hot button topics that are easy to get angry about. And the point on that, they're not going to change. Give me an example, Bill. Sure. How about the education crisis? Since I started school over 50, 60 years ago, we've been hearing about the crisis in education. The curriculum is terrible. Teachers are quitting. We don't have funding for schools. Schools are falling down. 50 years, haven't seen a whole lot of progress. Oh, let's take another favorite. The Electoral College. Yeah. Electoral College, we've been going on about that for 20 years. We every year raise millions of dollars to correct the problems in the Electoral College. Does it happen? Nope. Do we have a tyranny of the minority? I think we kind of might. Look at the mess in Washington with the debt ceiling. The debt crisis used to happen every couple of years. Now it's almost every couple of months. I'm worried. I'm saying when to stop, because Washington has turned into a retirement home that's been taken over by junior age kids, grandchildren visiting on visiting day to come see grandma. Well, the things we all need are not happening because special interests and special core base groups, and before you get angry at me, both sides are doing this. We're seeing both sides pandering to a base. They're monopolizing the time, they're monopolizing the funding, and I think it's time that I say when. What you want to do is up to you, but it's time to say when on the hard questions and start making the hard choices, because rains are going to keep coming, earthquakes are going to keep happening, and we, you and I, are our own first responders. So think about this. It's easy to get mad. I had a lot of trouble actually getting this getting this down. I want to make sure that I'm very, very clear. I'm not blaming any specific group. I'm blaming myself primarily. Too often we are lazy. We don't want to stand up and make those choices, ask those questions. And I do know when I have asked those hard questions of legislators, they walk away. They don't want to talk to me. So it's time to consider who we're putting in office in both parties. Until then, surviving beyond the bug out bag is your responsibility. It's my responsibility. I'm storing up. I hope you're storing up. I hope you're planning. I hope you're making conscious decisions for long term. I do know electrical power is something that you're going to really need. And next week, we're going to come back and we're going to take a look at that. That's all I've got to say. I hope to see you out at the range for a class. I hope to see you next time here for Survival Beyond the Bug Out Bag. Share this program, download it, subscribe. And as I mentioned before, we now have Facebook pages and Facebook groups for both the shooting range, Refuse to Be a Victim, Personal Protection Training, and for here, the Survival Beyond the Bug Out Bag. So we've got information and additional things happening there. Until then, be safe, watch your six, stay healthy, stay cool, and God bless. The preceding program was a retired guy production.